Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. Welcome to tonight's show of Beauty Talk. Tonight's guest is Season 3 contestant of Face Off, Mr. Roy Wooley. Welcome to the show, Roy.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be here.
We're so glad to have you here tonight. We're just going to jump in the conversation right away because we have some early call times tomorrow, and I know you have things you have to do, so we're just going to get right into it. We wanted to start off by asking when and what inspired you to enter the world of effects makeup?
Oh, wow. I get asked that one a lot. you know, I mean, just being a kid growing up, I mean, I think every kid loves monsters at one point or another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I always had that fascination with the classic universal monsters. And my dad took me to go see Planet of the Apes or Battle for the Planet of the Apes whenever I was, like in first grade, we went to a drive-in to go see this movie, and I saw these apes, you know, and I realized that it was people, but I always loved that aspect of it. And whenever I was 17 years old, me and a friend of mine went to go see An American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. And that movie has a great transformation scene where David Naughton turns into a werewolf. And it was probably the first time that a transformation scene was ever done like that. And I was sitting there, and my jaw just hit the floor, and it's like, wow, somebody made that. And it's like, because I mean, there was no CGI back then. It was all done practical effects. And mm-hmm. It was like, you know, somebody got paid to do this. Like, that's the kind of job I want to have. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that really got me to want to do special effects makeup. You know, the other stuff, you know, inspired me, you know, it's like, you know, wow, this is cool. But it was that movie that said, you know, this is what I want to do for a living. And I was on a track to doing something totally different. you know, I'd always wanted to be like a marine biologist growing up. And it just changed for me at that point. So, it was like a total career change at that point.
Wow. Now, are you you're working as a sex artist full-time?
Yes. Actually, I'm very fortunate enough. I get to play for a living. I work as a special effects artist. And also I do work at a local haunted house here in Atlanta, Netherworld Haunted House, which is almost world famous. And we work on that year round. And I'm fortunate enough to work with a bunch of very talented people, and I'm lucky enough to get to do this kind of work year round. The special effects stuff doesn't really call for much in the haunted house. There's a lot of, like, you know, making monsters and prosthetics and things like that. But, you know, I get to do film work, too, which is fantastic. A lot of the film work so far has been doing, like, the practical stuff out of the kit, like gunshots and cuts, mm-hmm. and great. But since being on Face Off, though, I've had the opportunity to work on a couple of films where I got to create, you know, something more elaborate, like going to what I really love doing, which is the creature designs. I just finished one called Hellhole, and it was making these demons that come out of this hole in the ground, which I guess you can tell by the title. Face Off gave me a great chance to go out and to not only prove to myself what I could do, but, you know, to show other people, you know, what I could create.
Well, speaking of Face Off, what inspired you to even audition for Face Off?
I had auditioned for season two, and I waited around so late that, because, you know, for season two, they did the same thing for season three. They had, like, you know, where you could go and audition in person, and or you could do, like, an online audition. Actually, I think CeCe did the online audition. And I did that for season two, and I waited to the very last day to turn it in, and I never heard anything back from them. So I was like, you know what? That was it. You know, I tried, didn't make it. I won't do it again. Last season, right after the right after the Haunt season ended, they had a small 30-second clip. The owner of Netherworld had done a thing for CNN on Money Matters, and they showed like the last 30 seconds of it on Jon Stewart's Daily Show. And one of the casting people from Face Off saw it and found the PR firm that represented the Haunted House and called them. Then they called Ben and said, "You know, we want somebody from your Haunted House to audition for Face Off Season 3. And so Ben calls me the next day and goes, "Roy, Face Off wants somebody from the Haunt to audition. You want to do it?" I was like, "Sure, why not?" You know. And so I started making plans for doing that, and just having just a really, really hard time getting the pieces together that I wanted to do, because the first audition, we had 15 minutes to do a makeup on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know how hard that is, just doing straight makeup.
Right.
I tried a monster in, like, you know, 15 minutes, and so I made this big elaborate piece. Nothing was working right. I told my wife, I said, "You know, we're not going to go. I ain't going to do it." And she goes, "Yeah, we are. We're going. You know, get this finished. Get in the car. We're driving to Orlando. You're going to do this." And so that's what we did, and got in there and impressed the judges enough to get the next step, which was an interview, and got through that process, and, you know, and eventually ended up on the show. Really, I think it was just and that was a long way to tell you this story. honestly, I had watched the first season, and actually, I knew Sam that was in season one. Had worked with her several times, and very, very talented artist. I mean, every one of them that was on there. But I looked at their work, and I looked at my set, thought to myself, you know, I can at least do that good, you know? And also, I thought of a chance to, you know, it's like, if I can get on the show, I can show the world what I'm capable of. And
right.
So that was probably the biggest reason why I even tried for the show, because I wanted to get to show people. I mean, it's easy. Well, actually, it's very difficult. I mean, it's easy to get on a movie set, you know, especially, like, you know, doing, like, no-budget, you know, Friends, student films, stuff like that, and, you know, do work. To get out there on a national level to that many people, to over a million people, that's nearly impossible for, you know, for a career. I mean, you're lucky if you go your whole career and reach, you know, a thousand people for most makeup artists. You know, to do it and be able to do it in a short period of time and reach millions of people, you know, somebody would be an idiot to not, you know, at least try to get to that point. So
that's
probably the biggest reason why, because I felt like I had things to show, and, you know, I still feel like I've got a lot of things to show that the world hasn't seen yet. So,
well, you know, Roy, let me just speak about Face Off for a second here. From the very beginning, I thought you were one of the best on the show, very consistent, week after week after week. You didn't fail to deliver some of the best work. I was really shocked and disappointed, actually, when you were eliminated. I couldn't believe it. I was speechless. I had no idea why they decided to, you know, they didn't, I guess, of all the work that was presented, you had to be the one to eliminate. I just couldn't understand that. There were two other artists in the finals that, you know, I was hoping, okay, hope to see them in the finals, but I thought you were going to be the third, you know, person. So I was really disappointed. What were you thinking about the work that you presented in your final challenge? What did you think about your work?
I mean, actually, I've been getting a lot of people, you know, I've been reading, like, some of the forums and things like that. I've even had friends saying, what was you thinking with the wig? You know, the wig is, and even Glenn mentioned, it's like, you know, the wig, why did you take and cover this up with the wig? Mm-hmm. And I tell them, it's like, you know what, I can justify the wig, and I will defend using the wig till my very last dying breath because the wig was appropriate. If any of your listeners have ever watched the show Grimm, and I've watched every single episode, I mean, I love the show, is that the female characters, and even sometimes even the males, they have hair because they're human. They're disguising themselves as humans, or they're the human hybrids. Last week, they had two people on there who were basically a tortoise, and they had hair. You know, so it wasn't a far reach to put hair on one of those characters. As far as the fangs, I just wanted to do something different. I didn't want to take the fangs in her mouth because I just didn't, you know. I wanted to give the judges a makeup. And I felt like I did. And I mean, I'm proud of every single piece that I did on the show. And even if the judges, you know, got onto me for it, you know, about doing too much, I have never been to a movie set or anywhere where a director said, give me less.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, I thought, you know, the whole thing, I mean, this is a competition. And it's like, you know, you want to give 100%, you know, and that's what I felt like I did every single challenge. I mean, I give everything that I had for every single challenge. I would even went bigger. If I'd had another day, I would have even went bigger than that. You know, and I mean, if they want to take it, you know, and dismiss me from the show for being true to myself, then, you know, that's their decision. And I mean, they're the judges, and, you know, they know what they're looking for. I honestly didn't know what the judges were looking for from week to week, so I couldn't make stuff for them. I had to make stuff that I knew that I liked and what I thought was right.
Well, you know, to me, I mean, even with being on a movie set, you know, there are going to be tons of things that you do as an artist that the director's not going to necessarily like. But, you know, he'll express that opinion, and then, you know, you change it accordingly. Or maybe there's somebody else on set who doesn't necessarily like something that you do, but it worked for the character.
Right.
And to me, it's almost like, you know, you should be judged on how well of a job you did as opposed to how it looked. It's like you're not really going by any particular guidelines on how it should look. You just use your own creativity to come up with, you know, the final product. But, you know, how well was it executed? That should really be what you are judged on.
But yeah, it should, you know, and it's like, I was actually talking to somebody tonight about it, and it's like, you know, the judges would go around and, you know, picking things and pointing at things and, you know, lifting things up. And the thing is, I mean, I've done the film work and all that, is that if it's not shown, I mean, if the person is facing the camera the entire time, especially on like a low-budget movie where you don't have the time or the money to fix everything, you don't. If it's not broken, you don't fix it. If the camera's not looking at it, you don't care, you know?
Right.
You know, and things that, you know, I've seen interviews with Glenn and V both, and they said, yes, you know, would you ever do something like this? You know, it's like, you know, how about, you know, guys, you know, working in the challenge? And both of them said, never, because we couldn't do it in that amount of time. You know, I mean, so they understand that we have a very limited amount of time, and, you know, and it's honestly, if you look at every challenge, it's roughly 20 hours from the reveal, you know, to creating the concept, designing it, making everything, and then from start to finish is roughly 20 hours. You know, that would never happen in the real world. I mean, in the real world, if you're, you know, if you're given 3 days in the real world to make something, well, that's, what, 72 hours. And as an artist, you will use all of those 72 hours. You will not sleep for 3 days to make that. You know, on FaceOff, we're given 3 days, but we're given, you know, 5 or 6 hours one day, 8 to 10 hours the second day, 5 hours the last day, you know, and you have no choice to keep working. You know, you keep working in your head, but that's it. You know, there is no physical work being done. Whenever that clock stops for that day, that's it. You know, so, and to me, people who watch the show and think that stuff really happens in the real world, it doesn't.
It looks like this season is...
I hope that I answered that question.
Oh, you did. It looks like
you know,
this.
You, I'm sorry, but you have to watch me something. I will take it and just go off on a totally different tangent if you don't correct me back in. So.
It looks like this season there's a great possibility that where we may for the first time see a female win this competition. I really like Laura's work. From the very beginning, I thought she was another one who was always putting out some great stuff. I've been paying a lot of attention to Derek. Who are some of your favorite contestants from season three that you enjoyed being partnered up with?
I'll be honest with you, with the exception of the very first episode and everything that happened with Joe, mm-hmm. we all got fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. there was no drama in the house, and I think that's one of the reasons why everybody's
they
really
don't show
enjoyed
much.
This. Because everybody got along great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when somebody got eliminated, we were extremely sad that that person was eliminated because that person wouldn't be there the next day for breakfast. You know,
right.
I mean, and they're all talented in their own way. Alana is, you know, I mean, God knows I learned how to curse her because she curses like a sailor, but I love her to death. You know, and she is a phenomenal sculptor. I mean, I've seen some of her work that she sculpted. The thing is that she's very young. I mean, she's turned 21 on the show. And but she's a great sculptor. She's just not a fast sculptor yet because she's still learning.
Right.
Tommy probably got the worst rap of anybody because of the first episode being teamed up with the person who we shall not mention again. but Tommy got this whole image of, you know, whining and complaining, and Tommy's not like it. Tommy is a great guy, very talented. Once again, though, he's only been doing this for like three or four years. So,
wow.
You know, I mean, I think if you give him, you know, a few more years, he's going to be a very, very talented and well-liked artist. Cece, love Cece. I didn't know that Cece was around in this area till the show. And she's actually been working at the Haunted House this year with us. And, I mean, it's just been just a complete joy getting to know Cece as a person. And she's the one who hasn't been doing this long, but very talented. And that's something is where I don't think that the competition is fair as far as a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. And I've been doing it professionally for 15. But, I mean, I started whenever I was 15 years old trying to learn this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. started with makeup. And then when I got 17, I started really trying to figure out all the special effects part of it. Rod's the same way. I mean, Rod's been doing this as long as I have. He took a break off for like 20 years, but he still knew a lot of stuff. And then you put us against people like, you know, like Cece and Alana. You know, it makes for great television, but it's not really a fair competition. You know?
Right.
But the thing is, like Rod is a great sculptor. He makes beautiful pieces. His sculpting is 10 times better than mine, you know, as far as when he finishes things. So that kind of evens that out. Laura is a great sculptor and makes great prosthetics. The application and the paint jobs are beautiful. So it does even out in some ways, but in some ways it doesn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Derek is a great artist. You know, Derek is a tattoo artist, and he's a great illustrator. And everything that he drew, whenever he made it, it looked exactly like what he drew.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, I mean, they're all incredible artists, every one of them, and I'm very proud to call every single one of my friends now. We actually talk on Facebook all the time. Actually, the day before I got eliminated, Rod actually called me, and he was very nice. I mean, he's always been great, but he was like, okay, so whenever this happens, it's going to hit you, and you're going to be upset. He goes, even though it's already happened once, it's happening now with all these people watching, and you're going to be upset. So if you need somebody to talk to, just give me a call. So, I mean, it's been like, you know, I mean, just every one of these people that I work with on the show, they've all been great. Even the ones from past seasons have been great. I mean, I've gotten messages from Connor, from Anthony from season one, from several of them, and we're all actually talking now. And I got a chance to meet RJ at Dragon Con this year in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And me and him talk at least once a week. I mean, we'll stay up like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and talk. You know, we'll Skype or or FaceTime or something, you know. I mean, we've become like really good friends. So it's just getting a chance to meet these people has just been a blessing.
Right. Well, since you said that, that leads me to one of the questions that I had, because I was going to ask you from seasons 1 and 2, who were some of the people on there that you really admired their work?
Oh, wow. I would have to say, I think RJ's bellhop that he did in season 2
yeah.
was just incredible, because it was a very simple makeup, but the fabrication, and I told him this, I said, you know, I didn't even do any that much fabrication, especially with the EVA foam, until I saw the bellhop, and I saw what you did, and it's like, you know what, that's kind of cool. I bet I can make some really cool-looking costumes with that stuff. And he goes,
mm-hmm.
oh, shut, you're fine. It's like, no, I'm serious. I mean, you're the reason why I started making costumes like this and using the foam like that. So Dad
oh, wow.
really impressed. Connor's work, and especially after being on the show and talking to the people that was there whenever Connor was there, they said, you know, he made the most beautiful molds. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, Connor's work was always fantastic. And him I really respect. Tate is another one. I think Tate had some great ideas. You know, I mean, I thought he was just an incredible artist on the show. Last season, I mean, you know, Race did some beautiful pieces. So did Ian. I mean, the top three of both seasons, I think, were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some ones that did some great work, you know, but they just never got to go all the way through to see what they could do with the other challenges.
Right. Right. What do you think makes a great effects artist?
Oh. What makes a great effects artist? I think I'll tell this in like a little story, if you don't mind. There is,
yeah.
I was actually watching Kevin Smith the other night, because, you know, he was one of the judges on the show, and I'd seen all of his movies, but I never heard him talk. And I was watching his special that he did. It's called Too Fat for 40. And he's talking about
mm-hmm.
hockey, watching this DVD of hockey about Wayne Gretzky. And he said, you know, Wayne Gretzky does an interview with his dad, and his dad said that what he told his son is like, you know, a good hockey player is going to play where the puck is. A great hockey player is going to play where the puck's going to be. And that just made sense. It's like, you know, if you're going to be a great effects artist, you can't be where the industry is now. You got to think ahead
right.
where the industry's going to be at. You got to be the innovator, not the follower.
Right.
You know, and that goes along with not just makeup. It goes along for succeeding in life, I think. I mean, if you want to get ahead in life, you can't be here, you know, following the dog. You got to get ahead of the dog. You know, you got to be the leader, not the follower.
Right.
And honestly, I think that is what creates a great makeup artist, is finding the next technique that everybody, like now. I mean, I know the last few years, the big thing has been the Prose transfers, you know, the
mm-hmm.
the Tinsley transfers, that and the alcohol-activated makeups. Well, whoever thought of that, they were thinking ahead of the curve.
Right.
And that's the reason why those companies that make those are out there leading the industry and things. Even like in the haunted house industry, it's about 4 or 5 years ago, the first silicone pullover mask came out by a company. I think it was a CFX was the first one. Or no, it was a company called SPFX. And they led that market for the longest because they were the only ones doing that. Now, everybody's tagging along, copying them, but the quality still is not the same of those original masks. You know, so taking the thing in the head of the curve is the way to become a great – would become great at anything. You got to think ahead of everybody else, or try your best to get ahead and stay ahead.
Mhm. Okay. So how do you do that in the whole special effects game and that whole arena? How do you actually get ahead of everybody else? What does it take, in your opinion?
That's just where your creativity comes involved in it, I think. It's like, on the show, you know, I mean, there were some people that followed the old tried and true things, you know, whenever you were given a challenge. You know, if you do it the simple way, that's not what it's like for the Star Wars challenge. You know, I mean, I thought, because me and Rod were actually on the exact same page for that challenge. We wanted to do something that had never been seen before on the show. And it's like, we wanted to do something to distort the human body. Everybody else took it and just did like a humanoid. You know, right. And we wanted to take it and do something different. And so I had the idea, even before I left for the show, it's like, this would be cool to make like a suit of armor. And you know, if we had an alien challenge, make a suit of like a robot suit and put a little bitty alien in it. And Rod said, I want to do like a little alien, maybe green screen him. It's like, Rod, they can't green screen. But if we take and make this big suit and put a little person in it, that works. And he goes, that's a great idea. Can you make it, you know, can you make this bodysuit or this big armor suit in 2 days? I said, watch me. You know. it's all about, you know, trying to think in a different way, I think, is what gets you ahead of the curve. Because, you know, the obvious answer is always there. You know, right. I mean, 90% of the time, if somebody asks you a question, there's always an obvious answer. And
right.
So, you know, you go ahead and you write that answer down, but then you've got to think, like, okay, now is there another way to do this? Because, you know, there's no saying, what, there's more than one way to skin a cat? Well, there is, but, you could, I mean, how many different ways are there, and can you figure them all out and figure which one is even better than this original skinning?
Right. What inspires some of your makeup looks? Or it just inspire you in general when you're creating your different characters or doing your work?
Really, it depends on what kind of character. I mean, if it's something that has to have, like, you know, an organic feel to it. I mean, I'll look at like, a lot of nature. You know, like, if you're taking, like, a piece of plywood or paneling and just look at it, there's all kinds of faces and shapes and things like that. Pieces of marble. You know, you take a slab of marble and you look at it, you can find a shape or a form or something. There, even clouds, you know, things that just happen by accident, you know, is a good way to get inspiration. I mean, and I always carry a sketch pad with me. And anybody who is an artist of any kind and doesn't walk around with something to write with and draw on, they're not an artist. You know, not a true artist. Because a true artist, you get those sparks, and if you don't capture at least a little bit of it at that point, you're going to lose it, and you're not going to get it back. And that's where some of the best designs come from. There's like a couple of the designs on the show that are ideas that I had 10 years ago. And I just made just like a little notation of them and just like a little quick sketch. And then I filed that away in my mind, like the pirate challenge. The whole thing with the daggers, that wasn't the first idea. I mean, that was like my original idea. But it's something that I drew from that I had drawn 10 years ago. You know, I mean, you know, it was an idea that I had then. It's like, you know what? I got daggers. If I take and I put them in a rib cage, that's something I've never seen before. And I'd always wanted to do it. You know, and I'd always wanted to do like a makeup like that, or if you do like a maquette or something. It's like, now's my chance to make it, and maybe people will get it and like it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Always, you know, write down your ideas. Even if it's just like scribbling down some notes, you know, if you ever get an idea, because you never know whenever that idea is going to come in handy. It might come in handy for 10 or 15 years.
Right.
So whenever it does, it's going to pay off.
So true. Oh, so true. Where do you see yourself in the next, let's say, 3 years?
Oh, I would like to see myself rolling in money. just a big old pool of money rolling around in it, you know, gasping for breath. It's like, oh, God, I'm drowning in money. That's where I would like to see myself. As far as makeup-wise, I don't know. I mean, I like doing what I do. I think I'd like to do it on, like, a larger scale. I mean, I'd like to do, like, some major pictures, you know, some major motion pictures. I would even like to, you know, even look at the possibility of, like, teaching somewhere. That's something that I'd learned on the show is that, and that's something that happened on the show, and I told the guys the very first day that we were there, it's like, because I mean, after we've talked and found out that someone had been doing it for just a few years, and I said, listen, I don't want anybody to go home because you don't have some technical skill. Because to me, this whole contest was about your creative vision, you know, more than it was about your technical level. And I said, if there's anything that I know that you don't, if you ask me, I will tell you. I'm not going to just take and tell you how to do something, but if you ask me and I know how to do it, I want to help you out with that, just because I want you to have a fair chance at making your vision.
Right.
And And after the show, I got to thinking, it's like, you know what? I've got, I mean, here it is. I'm almost 50 years old. And I've got a lot of stuff that I've learned by trial and error and screwing up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can't tell you how much money that I've just blown and wasted because I was trying to figure something out. And I think that it's time to start passing that along, you know, to some of the younger makeup artists. You know, because there's some of them that can't afford, you know, $40,000
right.
to go to a school, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, I honestly would like to take it and, you know, possibly not, you know, teach and things like that, you know, take it and help people along that really want to learn it. But, I mean, I want somebody that really wants to learn it. I don't want somebody that's like, you know, they'll come to you, you know, like at the beginning of October and you're like, well, I want to help you out in makeup. Okay, what can you do? I don't know. Teach me. It's like, okay, you come to me, you know, 8 months ago, you know, or a year ago, because now's not the time to learn. Now's the time to actually do makeup because that's what has to happen now. And
right.
it happens a year, you know, and I'm sure that you guys, you know, everybody out there that does makeup knows people like this. And then after October's over with, you never hear from them again until the next October. I want to help you out with makeup. Well, what can you do now? Nothing. Teach
uh-huh.
me. Now's not the time to teach you.
Right. And all those months when I didn't hear from you, you should have been trying to figure something out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, call me if you got my number. You know, it's like, you know, I told you I'd be more than happy to help you whenever the season was over with. You didn't call, so, hey, guess what? You got to wait until next year, you know. And, but I mean, there are a few, though, that will actually call you and say, listen, I want to do this. How do I do this? And it's like, you know, well, come on over and I'll help you with it. You know, and I got no problem with that, you know, but I mean, I think there's a lot of people there who think that they want to do it, you know, but they just really don't want to put the effort into it to learn. Me personally, I busted my butt to get to where I am, and it was a lot of, you know, a lot of sad nights and a lot of long days, you know, and a lot of, you know, trying to be a makeup artist and, you know, not being able to do it full time and waiting tables, you know, same with an actor does. I mean, an actor doesn't start acting overnight, you
right.
know, you got to... You know, you have to work at it. You got to get good at your craft. There's nothing worse than somebody saying, you know, it's like, you know, can you do this for me? You know, can you do this in this movie? And you go, no, I can't. You know, it's like, because I would say, yeah, I can. And I go home and I figure it out. You know, that happened more than once.
Right.
And I always figured it out, you know. But the thing is, though, there's an old saying, it's like, you know, whenever the student's ready, the master will call. You know,
mm-hmm.
and there's some people who want to take it and do that without ever getting ready.
Exactly.
You know, they actually think that you can just pick up a piece of clay and sculpt out, you know, a monster. Well, you can, but it may not be the best looking monster ever. It may just look like, you know, a round circle with holes poked in the eye like a bowling ball. You know,
right.
just because you can do that doesn't make you a sculptor. You know,
right.
And so it's like you have to. And it's the same as with any skill. You have to practice at it, and the more you practice at it, the better you get. And that's all. You have to put the time into it, you know, because it doesn't just happen. I mean, me, I was fortunate to have at least a little bit of natural talent, so I picked things up really easily. But, I mean,
right.
I have people that I have friends that have gone, and they have degrees in graphic design, and they can't draw a straight line with a ruler, you know. So it's a... I guess the point I'm trying to make is that if it's anything that you want to do and it's worthwhile, then you're going to put the effort into it so that whenever your chance comes, you're ready to jump on that chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Roy, I think you probably would be great at teaching. So whenever you want to start some classes here in Atlanta, you just let us know. We'll be some of the first to sign up. I mean, you know, we always get a chance every once in a while to do, you know, like you were talking earlier about the bruises, you know, black eyes, just simple out of the kit type stuff. But we're always looking to expand and do more and learn more. So when you get those classes together, let us know.
Actually, we can get some people together right now if you're ready to teach.
I'll be honest with you, I'm about creatively burned out at the moment. I'm already so ready for a vacation. I haven't had a vacation in, I can tell you how long. And this whole thing with Face Off is going to be going on for, actually, this weekend will probably be a year of just total, just wild and craziness. And it's like I was telling the owners of Netherworld the other day, it's like, I'm tired. And they go, well, I'm going to say, no, I'm creatively burnt out, because you realize that over 10 weeks, I did what most people did more than what people normally pay starts doing like a year. You know, because as far as the projects, because that was like very stressful. Because I mean, normally anybody, well, on like any picture, you would have, you know, at least a week, you know, to do that picture, that kind of stuff, and you'd have, you know, a crew of two or three people. You know, so I mean, that was very draining creatively, trying to come up with that stuff every single week for the show, mm-hmm. and then to come home and be, you know, 2 months behind and work for Netherworld, trying to get that show ready. And I mean, it was funny because I came home from Face Off, and the very next Saturday I was home for 3 days. And a show called Making Monsters had made a giant centipede for us. It was sculpted by a great artist, Jordy Schell, who created the for Avatar and some of the Men in Black stuff. And he had sculpted this great monster that Distortions Incorporated had made. And they were installed in the house, and they come out to shoot their reality show. And they wanted to have, like, you know, the haunted open. So they had, like, you know, people to come through and be scared by it. So I had to go in and do makeup 3 days after I was home from Face Off to go shoot this other show. And then a week after that, I was working on this movie. And then, I got back, and I was 2 months behind on work at Netherworld. And here it is, you know, Halloween's right around the corner, and I'm still a month and a half behind on stuff from Netherworld. So I'm pretty much drained at this point. I got to have a little bit of a break.
Right. Let's talk about Netherworld really quickly. What actually is actually probably one of the most well-known haunted houses in the country. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, it is. We're always ranked among the top three or five in the country every year. This year, I think Haunted Attractions ranked us number two. Fangora ranked us number one, I think. But yeah, we're always high in the rankings every single year. I mean, we've been number one several years, number two several years, so we're always up there.
Okay, so I'm assuming you are a big Halloween movie fan.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite ones?
Ooh. Well, the first one's got to be American Werewolf in London. That's mm-hmm. like Halloween. And I loved all the classics, you know, like the original Dracula and Frankenstein and, you know, the Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera, you know, even the silent one, you know, with Lon Chaney, that's a classic. The modern movies, Hellraiser, I love the Hellraiser movies, or at least the first ones. Nightmare on Elm Street, the very first Nightmare on Elm Street was probably one of the scariest movies I ever saw. There's just a whole bunch of them. Halloween, you know, the first the one that I actually worked on was not that scary and not that good, which is kind of sad. the one that filmed last a few years ago, it was that was kind of a disaster. But not for me personally, but for a movie, it was pretty much a disaster. I don't think Zombie really wanted to do that film. But you know, I mean, I love a lot of, and I like a lot of the '80s cheesy horror movies. You know, like The Evil mm-hmm. Dead, you know, and movies like that. You know, Return of the Living Dead. You know, just a lot of that really cheesy. Whenever special effects makeup was in its heyday, you know, because mm-hmm. I mean, during from the '80s to like the first of the '90s, everything was done with practical effects. You know, and toward you know, I guess about the first of the '90s, maybe mid '90s, the CGI started creeping in there. But, I mean, you know, back in the 80s, everything was foam latex. You know, I mean, there wasn't a movie, I don't think, out there that didn't have some kind of foam latex prosthetic in it.
Oh, wow. Let me ask you another question about Netherworld, because I went for the first time last year, and I loved it. The only thing that concerned me about that was, you know, there are a bunch of creatures that shout at you. And a lot of times I had to find myself trying to kind of protect myself when they were jumping out, because sometimes they're like swinging their arms and things like that, and it's like you almost feel like they're about to hit you. And so I was concerned about like going back this year because I want to go back, but it's like I'm going to have to really, you know, be cautious of that. Because they jump out and their arms are, you know, flying around, and it's like, oh, my God. Because, I mean, there was something that I was
I was almost hit in the face with something last year, and I thought, oh, God, this is dangerous.
Like, well, here's the thing. I mean, our actors, they're all trained in to not hit people. I mean, we don't hit patrons. We're not allowed to touch patrons. We're one of these actors. I mean, like some haunted houses, especially the ones up in Ohio, they love to take, like, you know, touch you and things like that. But, I mean, all our actors know is, like, you know, there is that safety limit. And, yeah, and some of them will get right up in your face, but they're fast enough reacting to where even if you swat at them, you know, you're not going to hit them. You know, if you're a good actor and you know what you're doing, nobody gets hit. You know, and it's, I mean, they're taught, you know, to not touch the patrons. You know, now if one of the tricks is, though, is that, you know, you have like cheesecloth on your arm and you drape it. So, you know, you drape that over the customer and it freaks them out. You're not touching them, you know. But it gives them that scared. It gives them that close-up and personal. Me, personally, I used to work in the haunt after I would do makeup. And I was one of those, and I only got hit one time in the haunted house because we have people that come there and they're drunk and everything, and they'll, like, hit actors just to be, you know, morons. They'll hit people. But I only got hit one time, and it was so funny because I actually wore just a complete blackout outfit, totally black, hat, cape, everything blacked out, my face blacked out and everything, and I could get right up on people and get right up behind them and whisper in their ear, never touch them, just whisper and go, poof, and they would scream and hit the floor, you know. And but I mean there was times because you learned that once you do that, you jump back as fast as you can because they're going to turn around and scream, you know, and their arms are going to come around and, you know, possibly hit you. The last time I ever got hit was because I actually had jumped up in front of this girl, but she didn't see me until she turned her head and saw me. And she screamed, and she took both of her fists and started beating on my chest, screaming, and I just started laughing. I couldn't help it because it was just so funny because, I mean, her eyes just went just like saucer plates. And, I mean, it was just hilarious, and I couldn't help but just laugh. And I just turned around and just walked off just laughing. You know, and, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, don't be afraid of going there, afraid of getting hit, because if it happens, it shouldn't, because it's not supposed to. I mean, we're actually trained to get that close to you and then pull away, you know, and not hit you. So I hope that answered that question. I had to tell that story.
It did, but it didn't make me feel better.
you're just afraid of monsters. That's what it is.
That's what it is, Lori.
It's so fun, though.
Oh, it is. I mean, you know, and it's funny. I mean, people love to get scared. You know, and I think that's why, you know, the haunted house industry has become like a $1 billion industry every year. It's second only to Christmas. It sells more candy than any other time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Halloween has become a $1 billion a year industry. And it's probably, I think the large part of this custom, people go to movie, and I think it's one of the reasons why Netherworld is so great, is because, you know, people go to movies now, and we've become so desensitized to the things just because of TV and movies. And people want to come to get that live experience. It's like walking into a movie, you know, going to a haunted house.
Right.
It's like going to, you know, into a movie set. And especially with Netherworld, because, I mean, all of our sets and everything is done by people who work on film. You know, I mean, everything there is done by professionals. You know, this isn't like, you know, the old days whenever, you know, it's like, let's turn that old barn into a theater. No, these days, everything is done, you know, it's all movie quality products in there. And so, and I think people want that. People want to become part of the movies. You know, I mean, we become so, you know, sensitized, and we want something more and bigger and better. And I think that's why Netherworld has done as well as they have, because every year they go bigger and better.
Right. So, Lori, we know that you have to go now, so we're not going to hold it any longer, but we have one final question as we end the conversation tonight, and that is, what is beauty to you?
You know what? It's like they'll say, you know, beauty's only skin deep, you know, and that's true. Because, I mean, if a person has, you know, if they're a good person and they have a good heart and, you know, and everything like that, I think that's where true beauty comes from. I was actually doing an interview the other day, and they're talking about beauty makeup. And I said, you know what, it's really the easy part, at least as far as like some makeup, it's really if you know the basics, you can make somebody who's fairly unattractive more attractive. It's almost as hard, if not harder, to make somebody who's beautiful into something that's unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I mean, to me, whenever it comes to makeup, there is no, you know, there is no set thing for beauty cosmetics. You know, what's beautiful to somebody may be atrocious to somebody else. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has their own opinions on beauty. Take the show, for example. There are things that I thought were great the judges hated.
Right.
You know, so I mean, everybody has their own opinion. And, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, what I find pretty, you may not. So there is, to me, that question really doesn't have an answer.
Absolutely. Well, the answer is different every time.
Yeah. It is, you know, and like I said, I mean, as far as, you know, to me, beauty comes from within. You know, I mean, we have everything to help us on the outside. Nobody can fix the inside but us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much, Roy, for joining us tonight. We enjoyed our conversation with you. And we're looking forward to seeing more from you. I'm pretty sure you're going to be doing the show, makeup show circuit and teaching classes and all of that. So I'm sure we'll catch you somewhere.
Thank you very much for having me. I have enjoyed this conversation, and I hope we get to do it again sometime. And I look forward to seeing everybody.
Absolutely, we'll have to do a face-off reunion where we include people from all seasons and have them on the show. That would be fun.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Have the best of face-off. Seasons 1, 2, 3. Have all of our favorites on.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, thank you again, Roy.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Thank you all for joining us. Thank Technicolor and the Gorgeous Ingredient and our mystery guest in the chat room for joining us. And check us out on Facebook. We're Blog Talk Radio. And we are Beauty Talk, Beauty_Talk, I'm sorry, on Twitter. So check us out on there. And we will be sending out more information on our show next week. So thank you all again for joining us, and have a good night.